between the right and the left. That's correct, you are.
Because you're living on a line. It's a linear expansion in this direction and the other one. It has infinite length but infinitesimal girth. Timeline Earth, only one dimension for you to meet your friends.
It's okay. I don't know. I'm going to take the audio anyway. I'm not going to do the video.
Yeah.
Anyway, so what I found out was it my broken, shitty, awful headphones were simply had a problem, and that's why it sounded like you were so fucking quiet. So it wasn't you, actually. It was me. Anyway.
You know, you're approved to get a set of headphones. I don't know if that's true, but I'm pretty sure Carr would say yes.
Yeah, I guess. You're probably right about that, but I prefer to do it the old-fashioned way and suffer through the consequences of shitty technology. So how are you, my friend?
Normal wear and tear.
Yeah, right. You have Beats on. How does it feel cucking out to Apple Corp?
I know. It really does suck. Like, I had the, I wanted to get the Pixel Buds, but I read all the reviews and everybody said they sucked.
Yeah. And the Pixel Buds suck?
Yeah. And they're like, yeah, the best you're going to do without getting like fucking whatever the fuck they are, the AirPod Pros or whatever is probably the
Beats. CCP3s? Oh, okay. Yeah. Gotcha.
Yeah.
All right. It's good to hear from you, my friend.
I know.
Firstly and foremostly, I have a bone to pick with you.
Yeah.
We had a fantastic time at Childeberg, and you're going to Porkfest. How do you feel about that decision?
I mean, what am I going to do at Childeberg that I can't do at Porkfest?
Get really high on mushrooms.
I can do that at Porkfest.
Remember,
Pete Quinones.
Rum-filled watermelon. Alcohol-filled watermelon.
Yeah, I mean, that is not a possibility at Porkfest.
Swimming naked in the lake with your homies?
You know what I can't do at Childeberg is whip out my dick and slap Brianna Coyle with it.
Oh, boy. That's actually a good way to get into it. So Carr is taking some PTO, so you and I have reins with the show. And you know I keep you on a very tight leash for a few things. Yeah. But
Let me start off by saying every time that we leave each other, I end up getting arrested. So
yeah, how's that going?
The first night you were gone, I decided to run for LP chair, and I got into a domestic dispute and won the chair. I am now the LP chair of New York. But I also went to jail.
Well, that seems heroic. That's like your wounded knee, my friend. That's the one you have to, that's what you stand on. That's good. I wanted to tap into something actually to begin. Over the past week, InGroup has quite literally exploded with power in about 10 million different directions. There were controversies, memes were posted, gazebos were built, a variety of different things occurred. And I don't understand your beef with Brianna Coyle or anyone of the ilk of Beltway libertarians who they are a part of. So please, can you explain to me?
I don't have a beef with her personally. For whatever reason, she decided to follow me for a while on my last account, followed me for a little bit on this account. I have no idea why. I don't.
Insane.
I think she just saw that maybe we had like a couple mutuals and we're like, oh, maybe
you LARP as a communist. So that is also quite interesting. Actually, can you do me a favor and hit up your Twitter page to just kind of read out what you're currently sporting on your bio?
Yeah. I'd be more than happy to do that.
Yeah, so, please. Let's get into that.
My bio is basically everything I don't want to see on my lawn.
Oh, and by the way, happy Pride Month.
Happy Pride Month.
Happy Pride Month. Yeah. Yeah. As two romantic, romanto-divergent people.
Yeah.
It's good that we can come together.
I was
we can
the
celebrate
Navy
our
and
day.
You're pansexual.
Yes.
I mean, it's basically the same thing. We both would just
probably
fuck anything.
A hole, yeah. Correct. I was asked recently what my sexuality was, and I came to the conclusion that it has something to do with a hole, and that's about all I know. And
yeah,
I'm going to keep it that way.
Just any moist hole will do, any port in a storm.
I will not be taking labels. I will not allow labels to take me.
Well, I have to veer in the opposite direction. I only have labels. And basically, the labels in my profile are, like I said, everything I don't want to see on my lawn, and that's minor, lesbian,
uh-huh,
trans, cat girl, neurodivergent, communist,
yep,
black, and Muslim.
Uh-huh. So that's all out of the HOA. That's out of the HOA.
Yep,
not in the HOA.
That's
they will
yeah,
not be getting their HOA coin at
yep
any time. Okay. Interesting. I feel like you've really handicapped yourself in several ways with that. First of all, you've really handicapped your potential for good cooking on the HOA.
Oh, I got black in there.
No, you said they're not allowed on your lawn.
Oh, I just yeah.
Are you saying those are the only groups that are allowed on your lawn, or that those are the only groups that are not allowed on your lawn?
Well, because I'm talking to you right now, I'm going to say they're not allowed on my lawn. Because I know that you're a far-right reactionary.
That's
and,
correct.
I need to find a way to relate to you better.
That's correct. I've become a far-right neo-reactionary over the past 2.5 weeks. It was Childeberg that really radicalized me.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that'll
that,
be the position.
I am eternally grateful to Childeberg and everybody
yeah,
that organized
yeah
it.
Yes, and Greg Abbott, shout out to Greg Abbott, the greatest governor of Texas currently.
Yeah.
He radicalized me, Greg Abbott. Can you imagine?
Can you imagine not having preferences?
Yeah, well, I know a lot of people on the internet who seem to pretend like they don't, yeah. Until it's politically convenient for them to either adopt or shed whatever preferences they need to for political gain. Which gets
us
back.
I adopted that view of the South the second I stepped foot in Mississippi. And that was
well,
before,
they're not going to like you for that.
Back before this. Even like even as shitty as Mississippi was, I still preferred that culture over the culture that we find ourselves in geographically.
Madness. Total madness. Yeah, we live in fucking loony world. And it only takes you to have to spend 2 or so weeks in the South to realize truly how fucking bad it gets up here.
We're down bad.
We are down bad, my friend, which is why I, you know, again, let's get back to it. A lot of controversies were had. We don't talk too much serious stuff on the show. Enough people do that everywhere else. But I will say that there was a controversy recently that, for instance, we could not deny talking about that has to do with us and very near and dear to our hearts. And it has to do, as I had previously mentioned, with the building of gazebos.
Yes.
So at some point, and I'm not quite sure, I believe it was Nick Ashley who instigated some sort of a threat towards somebody. So Nick says, man, if this upsets them, imagine when I meet them in person. Now, this was based off of a tweet by I can't really remember who, but I think it was Trish. And Trish posted a meme.
Yep.
And it was a pretty brutally cutting meme. Some liked it, some did not. Some chuckled, some cried. But it led to, again, Nick Ashley saying, man, if this upsets them, imagine when I meet them in person. And then it immediately, well, actually, it was a few hours. It was actually, I didn't realize this, but it was actually 11 hours later to get this response. I build 900-pound gazebos by myself. You look like you weigh 40 pounds. Your threats mean nothing to me.
Yeah.
And so it's at that point that the elf, spoiler alert, comes in and says, hi, just a few minor questions. Are you lifting the 900 pounds piece by piece? Or all 900 pounds at once? How big is the finished gazebo? How many does it sit? Just trying to gauge your strength here. He goes, the point of mentioning the gazebo was to express that I'm not some weak little internet freak with a McJob, and that if he were to meet me in person, that he is much weaker than I am, and it would not go his way. So this is at Ryan of Kalamazoo. Ryan, if you're listening, what the fuck is the matter with you? That's all I'm going to ask. And then let's get into it. I was planning on, by the time Karkampik gets back from his volleyball tournament vacation or whatever it is that he's doing, I was going to build a gazebo of 1,000 pounds within the crack house. So I'm going to need your help on that.
Well, that directly conflicts with my goal of dropping weight down to 30 pounds by doing nothing but smoking crack. So I will.
That is
going to
make it more difficult. That's correct.
So
yeah. Well,
we're going in two completely opposite directions.
Well, when you put it that way, his gazebo building skills are a lot more impressive to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting. And so it kind of spiraled out of control from there. He started making threats. One of the threats that he had made, Ryan had made. Ryan is in some way. I mean, he's interacts with Reed Coverdale quite a bit, so I can't tell if he's like halfway one of us or like what happened. But whatever we did to him probably didn't encourage him to come over to our side. But he had said his second. Oh boy. There's so many. Dude, I'm literally scrolling through about a dozen tweets. All right. So, you paleo losers pissed off the wrong motherfucker. And you're about to find out why, he says. 900-pound gazebo builder who has already identified himself as 900-pound gazebo builder because I can't see the at anymore, just that name, immediately says, it's because you're going to snitch on everyone? Are you sending B. Coyle's list to the teacher? And again, the list was created because it was a list that Brianna Coyle felt the need to screenshot all of the people who either liked or retweeted Trigi's post.
One of my biggest failures besides being arrested is not having the wherewithal to like that meme that Trigi Confucius posted and not make the list.
Yeah, I was very close to liking it specifically to make the list, and yeah. I just got in late.
I didn't know it was Tridge that did it. I thought it was just some rando. And I'm like,
I don't know who made the meme. Yeah, I don't know who made the meme, actually, to be perfectly honest with you. I think it was Tridge who posted it. But anyway.
He did. Yeah, I'm looking at the thread right now. And from what I can see through all the you're unable to view this tweet because
or they blocked you or they're deleted the tweets. Or,
absolutely.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, right. Uh-huh. To his response, I want to just put to you, Ryan of Kalamazoo says, me and my friends have filled entire emergency rooms before.
Oh, yeah, I saw that one.
That's a tough one, isn't it? Entire emergency rooms before, the guy says.
No,
that's a little fucking
intense.
You
live in New York City. I live in Boston. It's
right.
Both pretty much healthcare nexuses of the world.
Is that what you call it? Yeah.
Well, I mean, healthcare problems, but I can only speak to Boston.
Yeah.
You know, we have some of the largest hospitals. We have like a lot, like more clinics and hospitals per capita. We're like research institutes and all that shit. It would be pretty filling up an emergency room in like, I don't know, the first three hospitals that come to my mind would be quite an endeavor.
Yeah, it
it's
would be
like, the only thing I can think of that might come to pass where he could actually do it is if he shoots up Porkfest.
Yeah, I'm.
And how good for the podcast would that be?
Excellent, dude. It would be excellent for the podcast. So here's the thing. Somebody says, are you threatening people? Blah, 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 blah. And he goes, yeah, I get it. They never meant their threats. I don't know how well you know K-Zoo. Obviously, he's talking about Kalamazoo, which is either in Michigan or Wisconsin or Minnesota. I cannot remember which is which.
I think it's
it was Paz. It was Paz who was like, yeah, it's a shithole, but it's not a dangerous shithole. So, and I believe Paz pretty much whenever he says anything. He goes, I don't know how well you know K-Zoo, but I worked at Continental Lanes in the bar for 5 years, and my people are Bradeens and Pelletiers. I lived on North Street for years, and I worked on Hayes Park for years. Or, if you've ever heard of a back alley massacre about 8 years ago, which was a 50-person bloodbath that they had to recarpet the bar over, that was me. So there's some interesting details that we acquired from just that alone, right? So now we know that Ryan was speaking specifically about a back alley brawl bloodbath. So it wasn't a shooting. And he does cite his friends as participating with him, except when he gets to that tweet, he cleverly says, "That was me," not giving any credit to any of the other friends he had who participated in the bloodbath, which is some sucker shit. Let's be honest
smart
about that.
Man. No, that's
I don't know. I think it's some sucker shit. All right. Well, then we diverged.
If you're just a purse boy, you want to take as much credit as you can.
Yeah, but then what if his boys are like, "Hey, you're talking shit over there. We all did that together." I feel like you just stir up the pot too much if you don't give credit where credit's due. But the most telling thing, which you had already sort of tangentially mentioned, is that we both live in places where there is an intensity of healthcare crises and therefore very large hospitals. And the emergency room, the last emergency room that I went to, no doubt could have held 250 to 300 people in the waiting area alone.
Yeah.
Right? So obviously there's got to be at least as many rooms, maybe slightly less. This guy's talking about 50-person bloodbath. By the way, he doesn't mention how many of those people in the bloodbath were his friends. And he also talks about having to recarpet the floor, which has to be a NAP violation. I mean, that's ridiculous. And I guarantee you he didn't pay for the carpet or anything like that.
Yeah, I mean, they have what is it? Luxury vinyl flooring now. Like, carpet's over.
Yeah, which is a lot easier to clean the blood off of nowadays.
Yeah, I mean, that shit, you cannot scratch vinyl floor. It's
no,
impossible.
And Keizu, being the hard city that it is, now knows that it's going to be a bloodbath anytime that back... Does he say back alley or bar brawl? Let me just make sure. No, yeah, wait a minute. I'm going to read it again. Or, if you have ever heard of the back alley massacre about 8 years ago, which was a 50-person bloodbath that they had to recarpet the bar over, that was me. Was it in the bar or in the back alley, Ryan?
I'm starting to think that maybe this event didn't take place, or maybe
well, here's
took
the thing.
Place.
I had our investigative researcher pause, run the numbers, and do the data and the research. And after about 2 hours of looking, Paz could not find a fucking thing about anything relating to a 50-person bloodbath that filled emergency rooms in the city of Kalamazoo at any point in time, 8 years ago or any time since or around. So, Ryan, if you'd like to defend your actions, I welcome you to email me at bird@timelineearth.org. Send
it
in.
I bet it was a CIA black site, and they just brushed it under the rug.
In the back alley of the bar at Kalamazoo.
Scrubbed it. Yeah. They scrubbed the carpet. They cleaned it. They put a carpet cleaner over it. Maybe some Comet. And, that has to be it.
And what the fuck is this guy's problem that he needs to get into a 50-person bloodbath in the city of Kalamazoo? What's his problem? I've never been
know.
In a one bar fight. Have you?
I don't know, like, the layout of Kalamazoo, like whose turf is what. I mean, if it's gang related, I can totally see that. I would encourage it. You're not just going to let some rival.
And you know what? That may be true, but this is why I welcome Ryan to come onto the show and explain the entire story, because I'm dying to hear it. He says his people are Bradeens and Pelletiers. I guess those are street names. So, but my thing is, I don't really know what that's supposed to indicate. Just like street names mean what? Gangs?
He needs
just
to come
like
on the
boys?
Show and start set tripping. That's what needs to happen.
100,000%. Ryan of Kalamazoo, I am not going to at you. Someone else might. You're welcome to come onto the show and explain not only the – and it better be a good fucking story, my man, or I will kick you off right away. But I will let you explain that story in full without any interruptions for as long as you want. And then I will let you wax poetically about your pergola – and gazebo building business, which I found to be equally as fascinating. What an interesting tale we weave, right? Some of us, we go from 50 alley backyard, 50 person bloodbaths in the back alley of a bar that had to be recarpeted. I guess the bloodbath must have started in the bar and was slowly
it's
moved out of the bar.
It's a shame that story had to come out in a hostile interaction.
I agree,
because like somebody that would fit right into.
Yeah,
you know, the more reactionary meets caucus social circle.
Well, he's like
all about construction.
Uh huh.
You know, not so much us. We destroyed a house and smoke crack in it.
Right. But, well, I'm going to build a gazebo. Relax. I'm going to build a gazebo.
All right. I mean, do you know the price of even reprocessed lumber now?
Yeah, we got Patreon money. We could use that. It's the concern I have with lifting all 1,000 pounds of the gazebo I'm going to build.
I'm going to sell it for crack.
Oh. Well, let me build it first, and then we can have it properly appraised and resold. Right, how about that? Let's try that.
As long as I get some crack.
1,000 pounds, I'm telling you. 1,000 pounds. Yep, I'll do it. I'll get it done. And I'll put the roof on before I take a picture.
Damn. Speaking of putting the roof on, while you're away, I signed a purchase and sale agreement on a house.
Fuck you. Oh, my God. I'm tired of you, I have to say. So I assume that's in Massachusetts somewhere?
It is, yeah.
What the fuck's the deal there? Because Massachusetts sucks.
It does, yeah.
Why? Why didn't you get a place in... Yeah, what's the deal?
This is the part in my life where I'm in my low 30s, and I need to start setting the foundation.
Pumping
out an army of children.
A thing
that factors into that is proximity to family, and where I bought my house is in decently close proximity to my family. The commute's not going to be as good, but when I start, when I'm at like kid number 6, 7, 8.
Oh my God!
I'm going to need to pawn them off in short order basically any family member that'll take them.
I'm sick to my stomach, I have to tell you. It is sickening to my stomach to know that you're going to be the first one of the three of us on the show to have a kid.
Hey, don't sell yourself short. You might knock somebody up accidentally.
Yeah, I'm trying to. Anyway, there's other news that we have.
Isn't Carl's girlfriend Filipino?
I don't think that's his girlfriend anymore, but she was.
Oh, all right. So, yeah.
Certainly was. But Aaron, Carr is such a looker. I'm just surprised he doesn't have any illegitimates yet.
Yeah, not that we know of.
Not that we know of, yeah. We'll find out. That was my big, the big problem with me is I was, I'm going to definitely either move down to Florida or Texas, and unfortunately, I gave my DNA to 23andMe, so I can't even get away with anything anymore.
No, you can't.
Nope. Anyway, we have some things that I'd like to talk to you about. Not many, but there were a few happenings that occurred. They are ridiculous, I have to tell you. First of all, quick one, easy one, just to get it out of the way. SCOTUS, you know him, right?
Good.
They basically flatly rejected a case which would look into expanding the all-male draft, which I think is really fucking funny, personally. And we can get that seriousness out of the way. And then I want to get immediately into the story that matters. Two stories that matter, actually. Actually, it's three. Aaron, quickly and briefly, I want to tell you about how the FBI is trying to convince us that they recovered millions of dollars in Bitcoin from people who were proficient enough to hack one of the most major oil pipelines in the country. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I've seen some buzz about this.
Yeah. Do you even believe that for a fucking single second? Because I don't.
I do not believe that they in any way manipulated, the blockchain.
Of course not.
I don't think they... I don't think they manipulated the Bitcoin protocol in order to retrieve that money. I think the hackers were probably either an op themselves or they were just grossly incompetent and had it on an exchange that was subject to, a subpoena or whatever. And and that's kind of how that went.
What I believe is that it's a complete fucking myth, totally made up. Ridiculously fake. But if it was real, this is the story that they're basically telling. That exactly what you had said, a California-based exchange, I don't know if they revealed it to be Coinbase or not, But it is exactly what you said. They used their legislative power in order to crack into Coinbase's records, and then from there be able to trace on the public blockchain, you know, what was going on. Why exactly these hackers couldn't just pay $50 to buy a cold storage wallet, or why they couldn't get on Lightning, I'm not quite sure they know why those two parts of the story they created didn't fall together the way they did. But
no, I'm not up on Bitcoin specifically, but isn't the Lightning Network kind of a vulnerability as far as that goes?
I would refer you to Car Campit for a more detailed discussion on that. But as far as I understand, it is the anonymity that people are looking for in Bitcoin.
Yeah.
I had a great time.
Or Rollo hears about this, they're going to want to slap me for asking that. But
hey, we'll get to a slap story in just a minute, my friend, actually.
Yeah. I think I know where this is going, and I like
it. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we'll get to that in just a second. I got to see Carr open up the application that he uses to access the Lightning Network, and he explained in person. I got to go to his house, and he explained to me in person on his TV exactly how it works, what it looks like, what it does. That fucker is uncrackable. If you don't put it onto an exchange with Kill Yourself, oh no, it's not called Kill. What's KY? Know Your Customer. KYC, not KYS. I always call it KYS because that's how it makes me feel. KYC. If you don't ever put it onto an exchange that can identify you with a person, I mean, this is basic. You just go, well, yeah, of course they could never know. Once you put it on Lightning, you diffuse it like off of the blockchain, which if you're a hacker, why the fuck would you ever put it? Why would you ever put it, try and get cash out of it, especially from the exchange that I believe they said they busted it from? If it was Coinbase, it's like a $20,000 withdrawal amount, which is like not, doesn't make any fucking sense also. And then the last, and this could change by the day because the story is changing by the day, but the last thing that I had saw was that they suspected that the individual hackers were Russian nationals. Now, if you know anything about Coinbase, you know they don't service Russian nationals. So one of those two parts of that story don't make sense.
Yeah, but we're going to go with them anyways because we need...
Why not?
...to increase our global presence and also regulate cryptocurrency somehow.
More or less that the good quote from Lenin that I do not remember, which has something to do with the fact that as capital and capital holders and owners gradually have their power siphoned away from them by the proletariat, they will fight harder, more maliciously, and more stupidly than they did ever in the past in order to secure the very few means that they have left. And I think the most interesting thing is precisely that you are seeing some really silly scrambling by the federal government, by mainstream media, to...
Even by Trump.
Even by Trump, which is a little side story that I had pulled up on my phone right as you said that. Even Trump. But here's the thing with Trump. Well, before that. Anyway, you can see all of these attacks from all of the invested, very powerful capital holders who are very much on legacy systems that they're never going to be able to get off of.
Very rivalrous interests.
Yes. And so they are... Almost to a, it appears a delusional, there's almost becoming a delusional fever pitch about it. I mean, everything from the Bitcoin environmentalism, which again, Carr and I had a really good discussion about that. He set me straight on it. I thought the Bitcoin environmentalists had a point, but they don't at all. 70% renewable energy, blah, blah, blah. Everybody's heard those at this point now. So, and not to mention that legacy banking probably uses more fucking energy than anything in human history has ever used as a conglomerate ever.
Just the infrastructure needed to prop it up.
Yeah, it's insane. So Bitcoin environmentalism, big myth. This whole thing about them getting the money back is at least a scam. It's probably worse than a scam, but it's at least a scam. In my mind, I can't prove this, but I think over time people will start to reveal what was hidden about this story, and the truth will come to light that absolutely none of what they told us happened the way that it happened, if it happened at all, up to and including the fact that the hack could have been utterly and completely faked or spoofed by the FBI to begin with. So Trump kind of said some stupids. He said it's a scam competing against the U.S. dollar. The second part is not only true, but absolutely true. And the first part, Bitcoin is a scam, is a simple matter. And Lee, shout out to you, Lee, at Enblock or Enfield. He basically agreed Trump has good instincts when it comes to finance. Of course he does. But it seems like he doesn't understand like the simple principle of air gapping. Because he calls it a scam and he says it's, you know, look, they break into it, he's like, whatever. And it's simply that I think Trump is missing, again, as Lee put it, he's missing one little principle in order to understand how this thing works. Because like, Trump's got solid instincts when it comes to finance. And yes, he's a guy who can never admit when he's wrong. But what he had complained about was basic lack of knowledge, which is what about 99% of people who approach cryptocurrency generally and Bitcoin more specifically have a problem of ignorance in at least one way or another that prevents them from understanding it or wanting to accept it at start. I was this case. I think all of us were this case when we first heard about it.
Absolutely.
That's it, though. That's as far as the Bitcoin. I mean, we'll watch that and we'll see where that goes. And if Carr wasn't tearing it up on the sand here, we probably would have a good voice for this. But he is a beach bum who is winning tournaments, stacking sats. Really an enviable life that he lives. In fact, you're, and you too, with your buying a house and your blah, blah, blah. And I'm over here just trying to formulate a new drug regimen as is. But we'll move on
We're just two people trying to make it through life.
Yeah, I'm trying to make it out of life. Yes, indeed. So, the other, now we move on to what you had alluded to before. We have got two really winning stories ahead of us. The first one is that Macron got completely and utterly, Emmanuel Macron, French Prime Minister, bitch slapped in the face by a French a town person. He went to a small town in southern France, and you gotta watch this video. Just search Macron gets bitch slapped.
You know, watching that slap happen, I couldn't help but notice just how French it was. You know, he didn't slap hard. He kind of like had a limp wrist going into it.
It was disrespectful.
And it just looked, it was just disrespectful.
Yeah.
Like it wasn't meant to take the skin off his cheek. It was just a little slap in the face. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's why I loved it, because if it was a really hard slap that laid him out, I would love that too. But just the idea of being willing to get taken down and pummeled by a bunch of dogs who don't like the fact that you touched their icon and literally touched, because you're right. First of all, I'm pretty sure he cups his hand. So he's like not even full forcing it in any way. And it is literally just bitch. Like that's it, just a little bit like that. Bitch. Just a tiny move. And it was excellent. And I was very happy with it. Now, I don't know what exactly had elicited being slapped in the face like that, but the funniest fucking thing about it is the first guy that Macron makes contact with when he starts talking to the crowd. It was the first guy. Yep. What a slam dunk by that guy as far as positioning and enticement go.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So that was excellent. Please, give me all your thoughts on bitch-slapping French prime ministers.
I mean, it's just a one step of many in France's periodic mass unrest that they have every 40 or so years.
I don't know if this is like Gilles Jeans has anything, if that's anything to do with it or not, but he's clearly not liked by at least a few people in France.
Yeah, I mean, we don't see much of it over here because we're. They don't want to show us just the mass riots, mass demonstrations that happen daily in France.
What a shithole.
Yeah. They are not happy with Macron, and it's all of these ideologies from the center on down, and all of them are united in their mutual hatred for that guy.
Which is pretty fucking excellent.
Yeah.
Pretty fucking excellent, in my opinion. So, yeah, he gets bitch slapped and laid out. And I now want to put it to you. He takes that. You have to admit. No, I don't. I'm not saying that to you. I'm just kind of saying this generally. But you have to admit, the guy takes the slap like a complete pussy.
Yeah.
He literally, like runs back, runs away. And I was going to put it to you. Do you think Joe Biden would take a slap like that much of a bitch?
No, I don't think he would. I think
neither
Joe Biden
I.
grew up fighting in the streets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, Irish Catholic kid. Yeah, fighting in the street. You mean fighting at the pool. Fighting at the public pool against,
yep. Fighting for
against
his life.
Minorities using beating them with razor blades and chains. Jesus Christ. Yeah, I forgot about that. And by the way, we'll touch back on Joe after this.
Yeah, I'm one of the few people that think a fight between Trump and Biden would actually be a pretty good fight.
Really? Do you?
I do, yeah.
In good in what sense? And you mean present day?
Yeah, absolutely.
Present day?
I think they're pretty evenly matched.
Biden is in way better physical shape than Trump, which is a fucking crazy thing to say coming out of my mouth, but it's undeniable. And then Trump possesses the mental acuity, but you don't need mental acuity in fighting. You just have to have instinct, which I guarantee you that the fucking rich kid whose dad gave him all his money probably does not have the same level of fighting instinct as the rich kid who at least grew up beating up. Again, let's clarify this. Beating up minorities at the public pool. let's literally we have go back to the
That's
fucking corn pop story.
Yeah, you're right.
He literally
Trump... Yeah. He cut his chops like beating up black kids.
He literally Joe Biden learned how to fight by beating up people of different skin colors. He alludes to this in the corn pop story, which he's telling in front of mostly minority kids.
Yeah, I mean, it's relatable.
It
they're like, oh yeah, we fight white people all the time. Oh yeah, he's a good dude. I like him.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I actually am of the opinion, I agree with you that, and we'll put it to the listeners, just please tweet it out. Let us know in a fight between Trump and Biden who you think wins in that in a you know standard however many round boxing match is the standard. I don't watch boxing. Go for that. Or even an MMA fight of some kind. I think in both cases Biden wins but not handily, but definitely wins. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree with that.
And now Biden versus Emmanuel Macron in taking a slap. There's not a doubt in my mind that Joe Biden would probably shrug off most slaps, especially a slap delivered the way that guy delivered that slap.
Oh, I think he'd go after the guy.
Yeah, me too. I think he has that fucking thing where Biden would instantly crank his fist out, like instinct. I'm not a Biden fan. None of us are, but props need to be where props are, dude. That guy could definitely take and then execute an attack against someone who slapped him better than Emmanuel Macron did, that little French pussy.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
who,
I agree.
Who is married to a woman that is probably about the age of Joe Biden.
Yeah.
By the way, not that there's anything wrong with GILFs, ladies and gentlemen. Not that there's anything wrong with GILFs.
Yeah, that's like, it's the same as like Elon Musk being married to fucking what's her name?
Grimes?
Yeah, like, you're a billionaire. I think Lee said this. Like, imagine being a billionaire and being married to a four.
But, see, that's the thing, is there's a theory about this. This is an old theory, too. That at some point in late capitalism, something occurred where bourgeois values of beauty successfully diffused among the population. And so that bourgeois ideals of beauty from however many years ago where they were developed, probably the 1960s or 70s is where we're finally having them codified today. Those ideals of beauty, having been diffused to the mass majority of the population, are now no longer enticing and no longer, here's a word for you, act as shibboleths to the rich. A shibboleth being some sort of revealing characteristic that a person has, which puts them in a certain racial group or class. It comes from this old term where the Israelites and the whatever that fucking whatever the other group was, the Philistines, they were in contact, and because they looked very similar, one way that they were able to tell the difference between who was who is that the Hebrews pronounced it shibboleth, and because the way that it was pronounced by the Philistines, it was sibboleth. So that's literally the action of a shibboleth, is you can hear like a hand tip, like, oh, you're from that group, because you, like when I say dog, you know, like you go, that's your shibboleth. I could tell you're from New York because it reveals that about you. Huh. That is all of those things come together to create. This is the theory that actually the wealthy seek out different values as far as attraction and beauty go, which are inculcated as shibboleths within their culture. And so they've abandoned bourgeoisie values. So we look at these women and we go, they're fours, they're ugly, because they would have been in the past, because the rich and the wealthy would never have ever thought that a four was hot. But because now we think that the tens of then ago are hot today, the wealthy, in order to literally, because, I mean, we are talking about Elon Musk and the uber wealthy. These people are from other planets, okay? They have to, in as many ways as possible, differentiate themselves and their personal tastes from what is now proletarian, which used to be bourgeoisie. That's the theory. That's what I've always stuck to, which is why I'm never surprised anymore when I see some weird neo-lib rich guy with a four, because I just go, yep, that makes perfect sense, because you don't look at beauty the same way that we do, because we started taking it away from you, and so now you had to come up with a new thing, because, you know, being in that class of people is quite literally being a freak of nature anyway. So
yeah,
that's just my big theory on that.
It's just crazy how they've superseded even universal characteristics that pretty much all cultures can agree on. That constitutes attractiveness.
They created them. Don't ever forget that.
Big tits, childbearing ass. Yeah, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. They created all that shit. They inculcated it through various forms of media for literally thousands of years. And now finally, with networking technology, we were able to co-opt that. That's why every girl who makes $10,000 a year can have the greatest ass and the best figure of all time. It's just not special to them anymore. And so now what I truly believe is, and you see this, I don't know if you heard this story, but did you hear the story about how Jack, who is absolutely a neo-reactionary, and I will take no arguments otherwise, sent his beard hair to Azalea Banks so that she could create a voodoo ward in order to protect him from, I think, the coronavirus? Did you hear about that?
No, I didn't, but...
These people are... freaks. They're freak shows. They're literally freak shows.
They exist just on a higher plane of reality, and I mean higher and better.
By higher you mean quite literally lower and debased, and I can't wait for them to all burn in hell. But yeah, so we must remember that, in my opinion, and this I don't necessarily think is a good thing, but I think it is a reality. Power within culture, I believe, and this is why when I hear cathedral, I get a little iffy about it, is power in culture has flipped at this point. And to me, ground up is now where values come from. And that, I think, might only be because the bourgeois values that were used to be up-down were so diffused to the bottom that the power of those and the desire among the lower classes to have those values, which used to be bourgeois, they just kind of push them back up now. But these folks who exist at the highest planes of the pyramid, I don't think they give a shit anymore about physical beauty or in the way that we do. I quite literally think, like the story I just told you about how Jack gave his beard hairs to Azalea Banks, I think what attracts them is charismatic power, magical capabilities, how many kids they've abused, and other things like that.
Yeah, I was just talking to Adam Patrick, and I was just on his podcast.
Yeah.
And he mentioned the God-shaped hole in people's hearts.
And, yeah.
You know, some people, like, you know, people on, people in our social strata, they fill that with, you know, masks and,
yeah,
fucking, you know, what a material objects, mm-hmm. Status symbols,
mm-hmm.
you know, that along those lines, people that are above our, well, and above our social strata, they just fill it with other things, I guess. Like you said,
yeah.
abused children, ritualistic sacrifice, satanic, satanic avatars. I don't know.
Yeah, I was going to say, it might not even be Satan worship. I think that what I've come to the conclusion of, having to take a rhizomatic view of this, is that that entire class is Satan. Like, I don't think they worship Satan. I think the image that we have of Satan is quite literally manifested by that system of individuals. I think they are Satan. I think they are the anti-church. I think they are the antichrist, who I hate, by the way, and I know you do too.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, so it's dark, but it's also, yeah, goodbye. Hang up. Let's do one more story, a little more lighthearted, and move away from all the child raping to a guy who has never raped a kid at all, Hunter Biden.
Yep. Ah, the feel-good story.
Yeah, it really is. I want to do a dramatic reading of this, and this is going to, and please feel free to use however you'd like to use these words. He doesn't use a hard R. Let's get into it. So I'm gonna resend to you, unless you can scroll up in TLE Dorks on Twitter, which would be a lot easier. To the first one. The first one is, where do you find unconditional love then, George? By the way.
Yeah,
that's the first one.
Yeah, this is like you and me having a conversation.
Literally, it is. So I'm gonna play his lawyer, George. Who is, I don't know anything about the guy. Let me see. Hunter Biden, lawyer, George. What I know about George, George Messires. Wow, that's a weird name. Hold on. George Messires. George Messires is white. It does not identify what culture group he is a part of, but he is a white man. And so we got to keep that in mind. Obviously, Hunter Biden is white as well.
If
not that any of that matters, but I'm
trying
to get a picture.
Bombs?
I do, because I think you're right. I think I'm going to blot them because of the fact that they are blot. I don't care, man. Let's just go for it. We're going to read out two different messages before we get into the story itself. Please, you may begin, and I will play his lawyer.
Where do you find unconditional love then, George? Where do you?
God loves unconditionally. Bo loves you unconditionally. Children are too young to understand what it means, but you will show them. There are ideals of unconditional love that serve as proxies. I don't have many. You, God...
OMG, nigga. Did you just find a fictional character from the imagination of the collective frightened, and my dead brother's unconditional love is what I should rely on, and my kids aren't children, George?
My parents' love was conditioned.
My penis as of late has been unconditional.
That's why we are searching.
For my penis.
And we will always be searching.
It's a big penis, George. They always find it. And I only love you because you're black.
It's so annoying when you interject with frivolity.
True that, nigga. But I'm done with my rant.
We will always be searching.
To be serious for one more minute, my true and beautiful friend, the search is over when you finally realize that unconditional love you give is the end of the search. The love we give without condition, that is the reward in and of itself. When you can say without exception that your love is given unconditionally to all, even those who hurt and especially those that seem incapable of returning it, then your search is over.
Dude, first of all, props, because Hunter Biden writes like a 6-year-old in yeah. tweets. He doesn't use punctuation.
I had to read drafts of like things that people in the Navy wrote. So
that's probably about the same. you know what's really annoying?
Had to get reactivated for a second.
You know, yeah. You know what's really annoying is the guy goes, "God loves unconditionally, and the ideals of unconditional love that serve as proxies, you and God." He's basically, his lawyer's like, "Well, where do you find unconditional love? Well, you find it with God." And then he proceeds to say he's a fictional character imagined by a collective frightened. And then he proceeds later on to say exactly what every roundabout in a Christian text says about love, which is that it's the love you give that is the final quest for love. It's absolutely insane. And he does this by writing like 6-year-old and also calling his penis big to his lawyer and saying that he only loves his lawyer because his lawyer is black and his lawyer is not black.
It's such a shame that he had to have child porn on his laptop.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a shame.
Yeah, truly, I agree.
Like, if that wasn't the case, I mean, he'd be like my first pick for president.
Oh yeah, I mean,
that's the case. He needs to be thrown into a wood chipper.
100,000%. I'm searching for other versions of this, and scarily, I just search Hunter Biden and am given zero results on Twitter when I do that. That's interesting.
Weird and totally organic.
We're just gonna put Hunter instead. Yeah, that worked. All right, I'm gonna send you another one that we can read, because there is there's a few. All right, here's this one. This is gonna go in our chat. Actually, oh yeah, there we go. Now I got it. Save image. Yeah, so he's a Hunter for group chat. That's all I'm gonna say is Hunter for group chat, because this stuff is nuts. The way that he writes, the ideas that he's trying to communicate. Here, it's now, hopefully, should be in TLE Dorks. We'll see if it... Nope, it will not let me. This is really interesting, my friend. It is not playing ball. I'm going to send you the whole UK Daily article.
Is there a going on live during this episode?
I sure should think so. Anyway, take the whole link, and it's got all the photos of it on there. On the unconditional love one is second. The first one is the other one that I want you to read. I'll start it. Do you have it?
Yeah, I just clicked the link.
Okay. There is zero coverage or pickup of the story. Zip. They spent a shit ton of resources on it, too, for a year?
Wow. Thank you, Michael Cohen.
He just sends a middle finger, the lawyer.
Yeah, oh, and you too? How much money do I owe you? Because, nigga, you better not be charging me Hennessy rates.
That made me snarf my coffee.
I just made that phrase up, by the way. I should have had your lineage.
Clever son of a gun.
It's wasted on you.
Apparently you do.
That's what I'm saying, Nick.
And then he sends an image. And then we don't know what the image is, but... He responds with, "Why are you so tan?"
I'm sorry for sexting you accidentally. That was meant for another friend named Georgia.
My girlfriend sent me a holiday card. So that's the whole exchange there. It's funny because, like, this is literally what the group chat looks like. It's just kind of funny. It's like, it's weird that at any level, people are still shit heels to one another in the DMs. It's pretty awesome, actually. So basically, the story of this is, well, this is the weird thing is, so what they want to get him on is that Hunter Biden uses the N-word multiple times in conversation with his white lawyer, who costs $845 per hour, by the way, which is kind of nuts. The text messages end up being obtained by the Daily Mail. They don't say where they got this information from, but this is libel, obviously. I mean, this is quite literally would be, I mean, I don't know exactly what the legal term is, but you cannot attribute quotes to people where they didn't say it, blank, 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 blank. And this guy who can afford an $845 an hour lawyer, I assume they would not want to slander him for no reason. That's my base assumption.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure this was fucking checked, double checked, triple checked, verified.
Yeah, I mean, well, let's be honest here. Allegedly, there's a whole bunch of photographs of him with children wearing, you know, sexy outfits and him fucking them. So, again, that's alleged. I'm not saying he did that, but I'm saying if you were to search for photographs, you would be able to make up your own mind as to what you're seeing. This does not surprise me in the slightest. So this is the president's son, of course. He's 51 years old. His lawyer, corporate attorney, really, is named George Macias, white guy. In 2018 is where this exchange about Hennessy rates begins, which we need to use Hennessy rates more as a phrase.
Yeah, I mean, colored people time is already a thing. Why not say Hennessy rates?
That's insane. It's insane that he came up with that in there and also then later said, I only love you because you're black, to a guy who is not black. And by the way, the Daily Mail, I think, was holding on to this because they released this like a day or two after the 100th anniversary of the Tulsa Massacre and Joe Biden giving a speech about the Tulsa Massacre on that day. They released this like 2 days later. And then he had another, like, he saved a meme on his phone which said, Obama, gonna miss you, man. And then Joe says, can I say it just once? And then Obama goes, ah, go ahead. And then Joe goes, you my nigga, Barack. And so Hunter Biden is saving memes of his father, which you got to imagine he shows them to his father also, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
and his father laughs when he sees them, right?
Oh, I guarantee you.
Right. It's just excellent that every single person who voted for this guy, Joe Biden, cannot stop taking L's. I mean, thousands of L's per day this administration and its cohorts deliver for us. It's fucking incredible.
That clip of fucking Kamala talking to Guatemala.
Oh, I didn't see that. Tell me about that.
It's just a meme somebody made. It's a soundbite of her, and it's like when you're like plowing your girlfriend or something, and it's just a soundbite of Kamala going, do not come. Do not come.
Thank you for reminding me about that. So, that's another interesting story and another massive L that the people who voted for this ridiculous administration are now taking, is that she has said exactly the same. I mean, we could probably pull up a composite of all the things Donald Trump ever said about illegal immigration, as well as all the things that Bill Clinton said about illegal immigration. And we can just put all three of those clips next to one another, and you would not be able to tell what political party the person is from who's saying it. And you probably wouldn't be able to tell what era it was being said in either if you couldn't see the video. I mean, it's crazy. The line has never changed.
No,
it's always been the same line. All of them. All of them.
When you see communists bitching about how, like, fascism has taken over and fascism's in the ascendant and the right is in power. What they mean is center right neoliberalism. And they are exactly correct about that. It is the current power structure.
Yeah, without a doubt. And it is, speaking of communists or anarcho time wasters is what we'll call them. Individuals like Chomsky, I remember two guys who I think are utterly ridiculous people, Chomsky and Zizek, The two of these guys are having a conversation, or, well, they're actually having a conversation through a podcast host. Chomsky was on a podcast beforehand. Zizek comes on afterwards. The podcast host basically asks, so what are our options here as far as whether or not we should vote and who we should vote for? So not too long ago, in the first election of Donald Trump, if you'll recall, Noam Chomsky had taken the line that it was better to vote for the Democrat in this case than Donald Trump. This is when he was right before he was elected. Zizek, being more of an accelerationist sympathetic, but I hate to say this, except I don't. Anything called left accelerationism is fake and totally distracted. And that is what Zizek is, a totally distracted and distracting human being who's a good lecturer, and that's about it. His contention was that it would be better to elect Donald Trump because that would foment some sort of a leftist revolution by the time he came out. Well,
yeah,
we got to the point of Biden being elected, and right before that happens, the same podcast has the same two guys on, separately, of course, because they hate one another. Chomsky says the same line that he always said, which was, you absolutely should not vote for Donald Trump a second time. This is a matter of life and death. There are people in fucking cages who are dying of coronavirus and other awful diseases that they're held in these basically concentration camps. And Zizek gets interviewed later, and he, again, because he hates Chomsky, goes, what did Chomsky say? I'm curious. What did Chomsky say? And the lady goes, the host, goes, well, Chomsky took the same line he did last time, no voting for Trump. And Zizek says, you know what? I agree with Chomsky. I thought, and props to Zizek for saying I was wrong. This is what I think now. Zizek goes, I thought that Donald Trump would have enervated enough people to foment this leftist revolution. And whether or not that's happening, what Donald Trump is capable of doing with a SCOTUS that's on his side and an unproductive legislature is that he will be able to put into law a whole lot of things that his boys want, and he will be able to veto a lot of things that his boys don't want. And so Zizek, in a much more catastrophizing way than I had put it, was basically like, you got to vote for Biden. It's the only option here. Of course, at no point do any of these people mention not voting at all, because, you know. Anyway, because activism is a complete distraction too. But so the both of them are now cowering and saying, well, you should vote for Joe Biden, you should vote for Joe Biden, you should vote for Joe Biden. Well, guess what? They voted for Joe Biden, and this is the result they're getting. They're getting Trump. You're going to get Trump, and you're going to be happy with Trump. And all the problems that you had originally complained about Trump doing, your precious Joe Biden happens to be the guy who's doing those things now. And, of course, the next line is going to be, well, you know, what we really would have wanted was to vote for Bernie Sanders, because they will constantly, God of the gaps of this argument, until they die. They will constantly say, well, this wasn't quite right, or, well, this wasn't quite right. But they'll never go, well, maybe it's the system that will never be right for me, and maybe I should stop with all the leftist bullshit and start moving into perhaps gray marketeering or something that utterly robs the state of its ability in the first place to legislate or to do anything. Because, and this is the problem with the people who see a cathedral, is if you see a cathedral, you see a spectacle. You see the entire society as a spectacle, because what is the cathedral to the people who say that? This is certain people, not everybody who's come up with this term. Cathedral's been used by Yarvin, Land, Nagaristani, a variety of people. What is a common trend among people who talk about the cathedral comes from the Situationists and Guy Debord, is that it's the media and its persuasive power, right? We've all said that. That's what the cathedral ultimately is that there is a unified persuasive force of mind control. I mean, Land has said this, and I think it's really distracting, because ultimately the power that any of these entities have to do anything derives from their monopolization of wealth and just their generational passing down of wealth and ideology. So no matter what they're capable of doing, no matter what a machine is capable of doing, it has to have a power source. And that, to me, is the thing that has to be stopped. Not this idea, well, I think it's actually also good that we talk about how this mind control device that has been erected around us has to be taken down, obviously. But the way to do that is to pull the cord, not to close your ears, not to turn away, but to straight up pull the cord. And again, I'm not saying Yarvin or Land or Nagarstani or anybody else who's used the term cathedral doesn't also get this.
I don't think any of them meant for that term to be diffused to us plebs.
Yeah, I don't either. What I think is that the general interpretation, as well as the Marxist situationist's interpretation, was that money doesn't matter as much as mind control does. And I actually can't think of a more great success of mind control than to convince people of that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that, to me, that's where we're at as far as the term goes, as far as the power that this whole thing has over people goes. And I don't know why I started that diatribe, but that's the conclusion that I've come to on it, is if you want to stop this nonsense, how about instead of voting, we try little accelerationism? And we occupy the institutions. Oh my God, I've always been this way. But I didn't have the words, because I also thought it was persuasive power for a long time. And I still think persuasive power is like the cord between the power source and the machine. And so cut it if you want to, but we could also pull the cord. And we have tools that actually quite literally in their existence pull the cord. But we could try a whole lot of methods. But yeah, so to me, my main problem is the left accelerationists who can't even be persuaded of this at all, because they do, in fact, view it all as a charisma game and things like that. And so what they're doing is going, well, we have to work within the system, and so we have to pick the lesser of two evils. And I mean, nobody on this podcast needs to be told that that option that is presented to you is fake. It's not a real option. They're going to carry on doing everything they've always done. And it is you who either has the option to fall out of it entirely or to pretend and stay in the game and fight as you wish and fight as you please. I think things like Bitcoin, really any decentralized protocol of any kind, whether it be weapons production, economy, or anything else, leaves politics dead at the door completely.
Yeah, and I mentioned this on Adam Patrick's program as well. I don't want to call it infighting because they're two completely different subgroups of libertarianism, but the fighting between agorism and accelerationists is just, I think that's just a complete waste of time.
Yep, I do too. That's why I don't participate in it.
They both serve equally important roles.
I think it's the same role, and that people are just occupying different niches of the role instead of fusing together what needs to be fused together to make it one single solitary idea. We could work together to do that.
Anarchists fighting minarchists, it's goofy, still useless, but I can see, like, you know, you want to purge a movement of any entryism, but, you know.
Yeah. I said it to Rollo. I tweeted it out at Rollo. I said, I have absolutely zero time for libertarian movements, and I only have time for libertarian protocols. That's all I care about at this point. So any rhetorical devices that need to be used, such as, like, discourse, conversation even, are really secondary to, let's just create a protocol that forces people to enter into it.
Yep.
And there's many that do that. Well, that, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's like they can't help themselves but engage, and they never come out on top of that engagement.
Nope. No, that's the thing, is that this entire the unity movement is actually the exact opposite of what I think we need. I think we need a total disunity movement.
Oh, I think that's over the past few days that's been kind of worked out. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, thankfully, as an entrepreneur, you want nothing more than disunity, discord, And you want to be able to, really what you want is a small niche of people who will support you until the end of time, because unity is never going to get you anywhere. Disunity is the only thing that's going to get you anywhere at this point. And by disunity, I don't know, maybe like a union of egoists or something like that, which is basically just a protocol. People who participate in the protocol are participating because they see their own gains in the protocol. Whereas in politics, it's all about compromise. And you go, yes, I have to gain, but I will also have to lose in order to do that. That's not how a protocol works, because you can simply exit the protocol. With politics, you can't exit or enter. It is simply something you can engage in or be subject to. If you have a protocol, you can actually tap in or tap out. And I think that that is way more a strategy for whatever we're looking to do, which is accelerate. That's at least what I'm trying to do. Mm-hmm. And hasten the evolution of this thing to the point where I can plug my head into a machine. And in some other cases, some people believe the whole system will collapse. I think we're going to become inhuman very quickly. And I'd like to get us there as quickly as possible, because I tire of the Earth and its games.
Well, it sounds like... sounds like maybe you don't really hate the Antichrist.
I do. I definitely do. I just don't know what the thing that I like is. That's all I could say. But yeah, that from a conversation about Hunter Biden to accelerationism, it could only be a podcast with us too, my friend.
Yeah, yeah. What do you think... What would you like to see tangibly in the near future, in the context of accelerationism in politics?
In politics? Oh, boy. It's probably things I can't say on air.
Yeah. I mean, I'll give you one example that I have.
Yeah, sure.
I would like to see the language of secession, separation, national divorce. Built into the official platform of the GOP at some point.
Yeah, that would be interesting. I wonder if that's actually acceleration.
Yeah.
Like, I saw Thaddeus Russell had tweeted something very interesting and challenging to me. He had said that he would vastly prefer, like, thousands of little governments. And I'm doing a disjustice to the way that he tweeted it, but it was like, I would vastly prefer a thousand little... Lines. Something like that versus one global government. And my instinct was to go, actually, I think I would prefer the one global government. But so that's just what makes me think of that is I don't like preferences towards any of those, which ultimately politics is a rhetorical device. Preferences towards any like rhetorical system, as I'm starting to understand it, really is not the only options that we have unless you're an activist. In which case, because activism takes place solely within politics. And it's funny because I had that on to quite literally, I wanted him to convince me of ways to update politics to our advantage. And he did so at the time. And then since then, I've completely tapped out of it in different ways entirely because of protocols that we can use instead of rhetorical devices. Build a better system and people will move to it. Build it and they will come. Yeah. I think that's where I'm sitting at. And so what I would like to see, if I had to give you one, what I'd like to see in like 10 years in politics is if secession is acceleration, which I don't see how secession.
It's right-wing acceleration, I think.
If you believe that it through. If you believe that that kind of a move disjoints the state and supplants it with capitalism, then it would be right-wing accelerationism. And I actually don't think that secession would do anything of the sort, either to disjoint the state in favor of capitalism or to do what left accelerationists want to do, because they believe that capitalism and the state are the same thing, which I think is absolutely ridiculous. But what they want to do is use the systems within the state and within capitalism to accelerate it towards a point of post-scarcity. Yes. I think that obviously can't be done by secession at all. I just don't think secession touches that at all. But if I take the right-wing accelerationist line And I say secession moves us closer towards that, which I'm not convinced of, but I, for the purposes of this, I will say that. Then I want more of what DeSantis is doing. I want more things being put into the legislature, which so definitely characterize what the geographic area believes in, that it does lead to secession.
Yeah, maybe not. You know, the lines of the map might not change, but there are clear demarcations on the ground. This is where my culture is. This is where your culture is.
Yeah, if that's accelerationism, which I'm not convinced, but if it is, that's what I want to see.
Step in the right direction.
I would like to see more legislation, more vigorous legislation, in whatever possible way that you could ever imagine, whether it be, you know, Californians continuing to legislate healthcare laws and regulations and all that so that they can pulverize themselves into oblivion that way, or what DeSantis is doing, which is drawing populist, not quite reactionary, but certainly populist line in the sand stating, yeah, this is Florida. It is a right-wing populist state. Live here if you want to. And I think that once you start having – and you can actually – we saw this with Greg Abbott doing the same thing with the silencers. You know about this story, I'm sure, right?
No, I'm not familiar with it.
Okay, check this out. Check this out. It's funny because I actually, when I went down to Texas, I told my Uber driver, who was a diehard Texan, about this story, and I think that's what won him over with me, the New Yorker invading his territory. Abbott just signed a bill that is law now, so this is already what I like to see, which states that silencers that are produced in Texas are legal to use in Texas. Now, the implication of that, when it goes up to the courts, is general. Blank that is produced in blank is legal in blank because it does not violate the Commerce Clause, which is, it literally does not violate the Commerce Clause, and therefore the federal government has no jurisdiction over it unless they try and legislate it something in the opposite that says that they do, which would be a breach of the Commerce Clause. I don't think that's impossible to have happen, but I do think it would be difficult to do when you have such a red court. That is what I like to see if it is accelerationism, but at the very least it is a breakup of the federal government, certainly, because now you have governors going, we don't give a shit about what the federal government has to say anymore. Thank you to California thank you to Massachusetts for kind of instituting this with, you know, kind of legalizing pot and basically telling the federal government to go fuck itself.
They set the precedent.
They kicked it off a long time ago that said actually states will begin again sitting down with their constituents and going, we would like to do things this way. So certainly that hastens the breakup. And if you are an accelerationist or if you just have a vendetta against the global empire, that's exactly what you want.
Yeah, New Hampshire's been making a lot of progress as well, very recently. Yeah. They just they passed sweeping bills, especially with gun control. They will no longer have any – the state will no longer have anything to do with background checks. It's entirely the jurisdiction of the FBI. And they could take it or leave it.
Yep. Totally agree. And I'm glad about that. Yeah, the more sweeping, dramatic legislation possible, the better. In fact, and that condition only applies if it is diverse legislation, because, again, that does not apply to the federal government at all. Yeah. If the federal government starts passing sweeping things that I don't like, it's a problem. If they pass sweeping things that I do like, I can't complain about it. I mean, not from my personal perspective. I guess I could attempt to be principled, but I haven't done that in years.
Yeah.
So the conclusion, I guess, is Anarchist Podcast says more legislation now.
Yes.
Hell yeah. Fuck yeah, dude. That's the line we're taking here.
I don't have any delusions about what a collapse or what a soft collapse or hard collapse. I have no delusions that it'll be materially good.
No,
for
it's gonna
a
be
lot
quite
of
bad.
People, especially those like me, right now live in densely populated urban areas, in locales that are heavily reliant on federal subsidies. But I'm willing to I'm willing to go through that fire,
hell yeah,
and start that fire as fast as possible.
Yeah, I was gonna say, and if you're divested out of the system and into, you know, other systems, whatever those systems might be, then whatever collapse, although I don't actually think a collapse is coming in any articulable sense that we've that has been said so far.
Soft,
I think we're I think we're collapsing straight into capitalism, like the latest of stages. I think we're all going gray. And Bitcoin is our only hope. And that's where the conclusion that I've come to, and I want to present that on Carr's podcast very soon to make my case for it. Because I do what I think is the state, as we the transcendent state, as we understand it, the authority that goes up, down with you know, White House daddy at the top and the courts at the top, and it all descends downwards to the plebs like us. I think that is quite literally collapsing before our eyes, but I don't think it's collapsing into anything in our favor. I think it's collapsing into absolute corporate overtake in almost like infinite jest way, where we're going to start naming.
So the best thing you can do right now is, yes, cryptocurrency.
Yeah.
But also find your tribe. Find your tribe in your local geographic area. Hit up a fucking church.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Find a tribe. I completely agree with that. And that is, I think, shout out to the Hoppian. I that is where I think Hoppian principle really stands out, is there is an emphasis on exclusion, which is not only necessary in principle for any, I think Hoppe calls it, clean capitalist system, which I do groan at, but that's his choice to use those words. But I think exclusion is going to be not, there's not going to be another option presented except exclusion, or you turn gray and you become a very small battery for a machine that is absolutely happy to use you, your children, your legacy, your history, your culture, and everything else an electron sink for television shows and things like that. So yeah, find your tribe is an excellent thing to say, and divest.
Yes.
And I guess just read Curtis Yarvin, because that's kind of what he says to do. So go do that also.
And also go fuck yourself.
Squaw.